Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
The bastards are back for this Friday edition of the podcast. We are part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. Just a quick disclaimer for any first-time listeners, this is not a homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. I am Jason Kelly. I'm your host tonight for this Deep Dives edition of the podcast. Joining me tonight from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Terry Cushman. Terry, how's it going?
It's going. Just waiting to hopefully get this West Coast swing off on the right foot. Decent matchups, but, you know, where they're out west. But excited to talk some prospects here. So we'll see what kind of mischief we can get into.
Yeah, hopefully after a lackluster series against Baltimore and Cincinnati, they have a much better road trip coming up, but you never know with this team, so we'll see. And Terry, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Cushman MLB is my personal account, and the podcast account, which is our most active of them all, is at Bastards_Boston.
Cool. Awesome. And also joining us tonight from Denver, Colorado, by way of Quincy, Massachusetts, is Andrew Dwan. What's up, Andrew?
Not too much. Just getting ready for the weekend of the Battle of the Bays. We got baseball and basketball, Oakland versus Boston in both. It sucks for you guys being on the East Coast. A little less worse for me. Only an hour time difference, so I'm ready to get going.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that both the Red Sox and the Celtics are out in Northern California at the same time, obviously for much different reasons. But yeah, it's going to be a couple of late nights for us Bostonians out here on the East Coast, but we'll power through. And Andrew, where can they find you on Twitter?
That's going to be at Andrew Dwan MLB.
Cool. All right. And for those who are interested, you can find me at Color of the Iris on Twitter. So you can harass all three of us if you want. So for this Deep Dives episode, we decided we would focus on not the big league team, but the farm system, which has drawn some attention lately, oddly enough, not from the offensive standpoint, but more from a pitching standpoint. So one guy that has grabbed a lot of headlines lately has been Brian Bayo, 23-year-old fireballer who has quickly ascended through the Red Sox ranks. He's just recently been promoted to Worcester, has already made a couple of starts there and has been racking up strikeouts and putting a lot of good performances on. So Andrew, I want to start with you. When it comes to Bayo, again, he's 23 years old. This guy was, you know, really just quickly ascended through the ranks. What is your outlook on him in general, and what do you take from his recent success, both in AA and in AAA so far?
I think fans can get excited. He's easily the Red Sox most exciting pitching prospect to come up since Eddie Rodriguez and then Clay Buchholz before that. These types of arms don't come through the system all too often. He looks like a mini Pedro. His release, just his demeanor on the mound. He's super bendy. Everything is just electric that comes out of his hands. He's the only International League guy with multiple 10K games, and he did that in his first two starts in AAA. So what he's doing right now is just transcendent, and he's going to be up in AAA for a few more starts until he looks like, you know, there's nothing else to do with him. Well, you know, you can't just let him keep striking out 8 to 10 guys a game and look bored. He had a no-hitter earlier in the season. Granted, it was only 7 innings, but that just gives you a sense of how dominant he was. And he's now a top 100 prospect after the MLB.com's latest update. He clocked in at number 83. He's no longer a secret in the baseball world.
Terry, your thoughts on Bale?
Admittedly, I'm one of the weaker prospect guys. It's not usually until they hit double A where, you know, I kind of start paying attention, because conceivably they're, you know, anywhere from 4 to 12 months away, depending on what type of trajectory they have. But, you know, his name started popping up last year as he was coming up through high A. And I was going to ask, you know, what are the comps on him? So we think maybe Pedro. Apparently you're not allowed to say Pedro on social media. Is that a rule? Or am I mixing that up with something else?
Well, he said he wants to be better than Pedro. He compares himself to Pedro, but wants to be better.
Okay. He's from the Dominican. He was an international free agent signing we were talking about earlier. So Dominican guy like Pedro?
Correct, yeah. Yep. And cheap signing as well. He wasn't one of your bonus babies that's making $1.5 to $3 million. He only got $28,000 coming out of there. So, yeah, he was like 6-something, 6 feet tall, but like weighed nothing. So that was one of the issues with him.
And he was a Dombrowski guy, I assume, or it was signed during his tenure?
Yeah, in 2017.
Yeah, that would have been Dombrowski.
Eddie Rowe heads up there, international.
Gotcha. Yeah. So when he comes up, I mean, we've got a crowded rotation right now. I mean, Hill is arguably your worst guy, and you could put Houck in there and possibly get good results. You got Sale, and you've got Paxton coming back more sooner than later. Looks like Sale might be on a quicker path because they're already whispering about rehab starts. Is it a foregone conclusion that if Bayo comes up, it'll be out of the pen?
You'd have to imagine at this point, right? Because like you said, the rotation's pretty crowded. Unless an injury occurs, or unless Pivetta goes back to being Nick Pivetta of April, and he's just completely lost it again, which I don't foresee that happening. Your rotation should be Sale, Eovaldi, Pivetta, you know, Waka, Paxton, and then you've got a multitude of arms beyond that. You've got Whitlock still. If you call up Bayo, you've got him. You've got Tanner Houck, you know, kind of lying in the weeds there. So I can't imagine that Brian Bayo at this point, even as quickly as he has risen in the ranks, that he gets called up and is in your starting rotation at any point in 2022. Andrew, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he can't supplant any of these guys. That would piss some people off too. You know, you can't bounce Pivetta out of there. Hill probably won't be in the rotation for too long if Sale or Paxton come back. And obviously they have priority with one of those spots before Bayo. So I think he's just a super weapon that you can utilize and also cut down on his innings this season. Next year, I don't think it's a question, though. I think he's going to go into spring training. God willing, he's healthy and just competing for a spot in the rotation, that is.
He has not had Tommy John, I assume. that we're aware of?
Not that I know of, no. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Just turned 23. Okay, so like Andrew said, God willing. I mean, I almost expect most guys are going to have it, but before the age of 25, 26, unfortunately. We're seeing that with Whitlock. Tanner Houck had a kind of a scare last year with some inflammation. Turned out to not be anything. Probably more a result of the weird pandemic year. But, the hype is in our face every day with him. And you're seeing videos circulating around on social media, especially with a pair of 10 strikeout games. So, I hope we see him. If we're not competitive, though, and we fall out of it, I mean, I've mentioned multiple times here on the last couple of shows, we got a tough early start to July. You got the Yankees twice, you got the Rays twice. We got some teams that can do some damage on us, in the month of June, if we're not playing well. And you got Toronto towards the end of the month. So will they start, if we do fall out of it, wouldn't it be best to just not start the clock on him?
That's where my mindset is. For me, Bayo's potential call-up is going to depend a lot on where this team is by like mid-July and heading into the trade deadline. Are you going to be buyers or are you going to be sellers? That's something that people are kind of going back and forth on right now. I think it's a little bit too early to determine, but June and July are going to be big months for this team because if they're out of it, and if they're like really out of it, they're still in fourth place. They're still 12, 13 games back. The offense is still inconsistent. The rotation, the bullpen is still inconsistent. Wouldn't you want to keep Bayo down in AAA and just give him a full season down there? Because, you mentioned Tommy John. He hasn't, as far as we know, he hasn't had it yet. But, man, that frame scares me. 6'1", 175 pounds. I mean, that's not big. And I know he says he wants to be, better than Pedro. And Pedro is one of the few guys that with that kind of frame could pull it off and not get injured too much. But that's a rare occurrence. And I worry about ramping up a kid like that too quickly this early in his career. So, Andrew, what do you think? Like, should that be in consideration for July if the Red Sox are teetering around 500 or should they be patient on him?
Oh, if they're... if they have a shot at the third wild card, I think they bring him up. If they're out of it and their plans have changed, yeah, there's no reason to. You just give them a full year of development and then you say, screw it. Like, hell, we might not even see Cassis at this rate. I mean, he's been hurt all, the last few weeks. They said he's not even close to coming back. So we could just see a lot of the top guys stay down and, we don't start their proverbial clock until next April or May.
The one thing that makes me nervous about the Pedro comparison, remember Davey Garcia, Yankees prospect, aka Little Pedro? He is in AAA right now at 10.38 ERA. I don't even get the Pedro comparison. I mean, the dude topped out at 91, 92 anyway. But I think he's from the Dominican, so that's why, And he was, apparently Pedro was his favorite pitcher. But anyway, just random Terry going off the tracks moment there. I had to look him up.
No, it's fair because, go back to one of the last Red Sox pitching prospects, if you will, Clay Buchholz. I mean, Clay Buchholz always worried me because he was so thin. Now, he was tall, but, man, he was a rail. And I just always worried, he's not going to stay healthy. He can't pitch, 180, 200 innings a year. And sure enough, he never could. So, yeah, it's fair to worry about guys that are that small and if they can hold up. So hopefully Bayo is an exception to the rule, but you never know. It's just so hard to maintain that kind of workload when you're a $175 soaking wet. But moving on from Bayo real quick, we're going to move to another Red Sox pitching prospect. This is actually a guy who was drafted by the Red Sox back in 2019, Brandon Walter. So Brandon Walter is a little bit older than Bayo. He's 25, and he's in the Red Sox double A system right now, but he looks pretty good. 2-2, 2.88 ERA so far down in Portland. Again, he's a guy who since 2021 has really started to pick it up and has really started to look pretty good on the mound. 25, you know, maybe a little bit of a late bloomer, but a guy who, because of that age and because he's, you know, really starting to figure it out, could maybe see a call up or some time on the big league roster soon. So, Terry, what's your thoughts on Brandon Walter and how high are you on him?
Admittedly, I am nowhere near as familiar with Brandon Walter as I am with as I've gotten to be recently with Brian Bayo, but he must have pitched what, 3 or 4 years in college for him to be drafted in 2019, I would assume.
He was as of 2019, he was still pitching in college.
Yeah, so
he was drafted. He must have been like a 4 year college because he was age 22 when he was drafted. So he was a 4 year player.
Gotcha. He's, I mean, having a very impressive year, a 2.88 ERA. He's pitched 50 innings already. So that's a pretty healthy sample size here. I'm trying to get his strikeout numbers. Let's see, where is he? Much quicker on the baseball reference. Oh, there they are. So 68 strikeouts in 50 innings. This guy is like punching guys out left and right.
Well, and the amazing number too is that he's struck out 68 guys. He's only walked 3 in 50 innings, which is kind of insane. Now he's given up 6 homers. So, you know, 6 homers, 50 innings. I don't, you know, not too alarming. I mean, the Red Sox are fine with Nathan Eovaldi giving up a home run or 4 home runs every game, and he's their ace. But yeah, it seems like he's kind of a punch out guy.
Andrew, enlighten us. You're more all over him than we are.
Yeah. So he had TJ in college, so that's the reason he was so old. He missed sense. 2 years. Yeah. So okay. Yeah, he was a senior sign. Yeah, he has turned into a hell of a pitcher for the Red Sox. He was in the bullpen a lot as of even last year when he was down in Salem. But this year he's been in the rotation. He's looked filthy. You know, his fastball for a lefty tops out at 95, which is great. He's been awesome. And like you guys talked about his walk numbers, you know, only 3 to 68 strikeouts. That's elite of elite. So he got to AAA a little bit later than Bayo did. So he's, you know, the Red Sox are a team that they do like to see them put in some time in the minors before they, you know, bring them up. They don't rush them through the system under Bloom. So I think he'll be a little bit longer down there. Him, I would see as more of a bullpen piece long term. He doesn't have quite the ceiling that Bayo does, but not many guys do. So Brandon Walter, valuable piece. I do think if they want to fast track him through the pen, they could do that.
Just for the heck of it, his 68 strikeouts in 50 innings, that translates to a 12.2 strikeout per 9. So dude's punching them.
Yeah, and certainly the Red Sox pitching staff in general, I think, could use some more punch-out guys. But certainly no problem in waiting a little bit more. Again, like you said, Andrew, you know, had surgery late in college, kind of a late bloomer kind of guy. So maybe you wait on him a little bit more just to see if it's for real, because that 68 strikeouts to 3 walks, that doesn't sound sustainable. Like, it's certainly not at the big league level. Guys are more patient at the big league level. He's bound to run into some more walk situations, maybe some more contact as well. But certainly you got to keep an eye on, for sure.
What's his mix? Like, what does he throw? Like, what's getting all those strikeouts?
His fastball has been, you know, kind of his bread and butter. Also his changeup. Those are going to be his two best pitches there. Those are You know, his main two pitches. He's got a slider, not as strong, but yeah, mainly fastball changeup.
So that makes more sense as to why he'll be a reliever if he's a two-pitch guy. But I guess I can't wait to see more. I did see that he was promoted last week, and there seemed to be a lot of excitement behind it. But, I mean, I've been kind of paying a little bit more attention to Bayo for sure.
Would you say, Andrew, that for Walter, that developing that third pitch, maybe that slider, is key for him if he wants to – you know, really make it to the big leagues?
Yes, obviously, but I don't think if it develops more, it'll be an average pitch. It's never going to be a weapon for him. It'll be the slider to keep the batters honest, but he's going to be your classic lefty two pitch dude. And that's why he's got the ceiling of a four or a five, but more higher leverage multi-inning reliever.
Right. Okay. All right. So another guy in the Red Sox system, he's actually been in their system for quite a while. We've heard his name before, Brian Mata. Again, 23 years old, another international signing for the Red Sox. Underwent Tommy John last year and missed all of 2021, is probably going to miss most of 2022, but I guess he's maybe hopefully close to starting to throw again. This is a guy that at one time was labeled the best Red Sox pitching prospect in their system, obviously before this year and Bayo and a couple of other guys came along. So, Andrew, what's your take on Mata in terms of can the Red Sox expect anything out of Brian Mata in 2022? And if not, what's his long-term future?
I am holding out hope he can. He's been in extended spring training lately, absolutely tearing it up, hitting 101 on the gun, sitting about 98, 99. So that's an exciting arm. They didn't quite commit to fast-tracking him as a reliever. Doesn't sound like they've given up hope on him being a starter, which – it's a little interesting to me because he has broken down a couple times now, and obviously the most serious of injuries having, you know, TJ to fix a UCL injury. So if they really wanted to get aggressive with him, they would turn him into a full-time reliever, which there's your closer of the future if you wanted to. But it sounds like they kind of still want to they don't want to rule out him being a starter full-time, but I think we'll see him in the higher levels in the minors. It'll be late summer if there are any whispers of him coming up to the big leagues. Again, if he's a reliever, but not a starter.
You know, it's interesting because 2 or 3 months ago, if I told you they're going to make Darwin's and Hernandez a starter again, I mean, you would have thought I was nuts. But here we are. You know, that's what they're trying. So it's weird the decision making that's going on. And I thought it was a foregone conclusion in spring training that Mata would be with us as a reliever at some point in July or August. But now, I mean, with all these other developments, I mean, we just talked about Bayo and Walter, maybe those guys coming up as relievers is what's caused the Red Sox to possibly pump the brakes on the relief plans for Mata and maybe take that second look, like Andrew said. So you got so many quality guys now in the upper levels of the minors. So no matter how you look at it, it's not a bad problem to have.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you, Terry, is like, so we've talked about the Red Sox bullpen struggles, you know, so far these first 2 months of the season. It's been up and down. We've had a few guys flash, but ultimately there's no consistency back there. So if you look at guys like Bayo and even Brandon Walter to some degree, would you rather save them and develop them as starters and bring up Mata when he's healthy as a reliever? Or do you prefer the way the Red Sox seem to be doing it, which is, we'll fast track those guys and we'll sort of slow down Mata, try him out again as a starter and try to build more starting pitching depth. But our bullpen in the meantime might just still be inconsistent for the rest of 2022.
I mean, I'd like to see at least one of the arms come up and help, whether that's Mata or I think it's less likely to be Mata because he just seems to be a little bit further behind on his program now. But we're going to get Robles back, I think, before long. We did get Strom back today. You know, I talked about in the last show that I'm pretty excited about Tyler Danish so far. And Tanner Houck, another guy we talked about, pitching very well out of the pen. I do feel like there is going to be a combination of some of those guys that we have plus one guy coming up that's going to be very serviceable. Chaim Bloom also said today in his comments with the media that they may target a veteran relief arm in the coming days or weeks. So either way, I think my biggest concern is Chris Sale coming in and just not having it, giving you what he gave you last year, just inconsistency, grinding. He had a couple of ugly outings. Paxton's been a guy over his career who struggles with his mechanics. I'm kind of worried that these guys might come up and ruin the flow of the rotation that we've had. So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what approach they take. Obviously, again, you know, still pretty early in the season, but, you know, a month from now, we're going to be approaching that halfway point. You know, the All-Star break is kind of that halfway point of the season. So it'll be interesting to see where those three guys are and where the Red Sox are and what their needs will be. One last prospect that we're going to touch on tonight is Frank German. And yes, it is pronounced German, not Herman. I know that fans will debate that forever, but it is German, or it is German rather. He was actually a draft pick from the Yankees that the Red Sox got as part of the Adam Ottavino trade, 24 years old. And he's recently been promoted to Worcester, had some time in AA, looked pretty good there. Had a nice, you know, 3.18 ERA down there. A guy that we don't know a ton about because he hasn't been in the system that long. But Andrew, what are your thoughts on Frank German? And again, 24 years old, so he's, if you want to say, on the older side of prospects, I guess that's fair. But what's his projection ultimately?
Well, first, if he works out, the Yankees giving up a kid from Queens to the Red Sox will just be perfect. It'll just that much more salt in the wound. He's a flamethrower. You know, he tops out at 99. That's a heavy fastball. He's got a split finger and a slider as well. He uses, you know, the first two of those as his primary pitches. It's a good 1-2 punch from him, and he's been very effective. The Red Sox have been using him in high leverage situations throughout the minors. He's coming in with guys on base in the ninth inning and shutting it down. He's going to get a little time in Worcester, but if all the three people we've talked about, I think Frank German could have, you know, he'll be up the fastest of these guys because he is a pure reliever. He's always been a pure reliever. And yeah, I'm excited to watch him go because he's got that lively arm. He's not hitting 92, 93. He's bringing it every single time at 98, 99. So, yeah, Frank German, definitely a name to watch. And if they get more out of that Ottavino deal, that was an absolute steal.
So it sounds like he's a guaranteed bullpen piece then.
Oh yeah, 100%. He's not a starter. He hasn't been a starter in, I think, since college almost.
Okay. Terry, your thoughts?
I'm excited to see him. There's been a lot of hype for him going back to last summer. And, you know, I think he kind of plays into your last question. You know, who could be the guy that comes up? And it could be German, who I whiffed. I thought his last name was pronounced Herman, like Domingo Herman. But it's just exciting to me, looking at next year, what this bullpen could be with all these names we've talked about. And I mean, who was the last guy that threw like serious gas out of the Red Sox bullpen? Barnes was before his epic collapse last year. You had Kimbrel before him, but we haven't really had those run of guys in quite some time. So really looking forward to it. I'm almost surprised they gave Diekman a 2-year deal at this point with all these guys that could be coming up and pitching. I mean, Mata definitely will be up by then, although we don't know yet if that'll be as a reliever necessarily, but just got a lot of guys that are close.
Yeah, the only thing I would counter, you know, in terms of giving Diekman a 2-year deal, only one of these four guys is a lefty. The others are righties, and we know that left-handed pitchers are by nature more valuable. They're a tougher matchup for a lot of hitters. But I agree. I think Frank German could be the closest guy in terms of coming up, being in the bullpen, knowing that that's his role, and being an immediate sort of impact. So I'll ask the obvious question, because a lot of Red Sox fans will leap to it, especially if he does get called up. Could Frank German be a future closer for this team?
I wouldn't bet on it. I don't think he's got that kind of stuff. I think he's more of your seventh inning guy. That's kind of his ceiling. I mean, if he can develop into it, that's great. But I would not put any sort of money on him being a established closer for the team.
We got a host on another show that wants it to be John Schreiber. So, I don't know. I mean, we don't have a bona fide closer, and we haven't for quite some time. I mean, Robles is one half a step from going full on Alfredo Aceves from 10 years ago. So, and he's a guy I was kind of hoping with that strong finish last year would kind of be the surefire guy for at least the remainder of this season. But if Andrew gets his way, it could be Strom, which still remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing to think about, because if the Red Sox do go on a little bit of a run in the month of June, all of a sudden they're back in it. They have to know that the closer role is one that they have to either identify or, you know, fill that role. You know, if they want to identify Matt Strom as a closer, fine. But if they don't have confidence in him, they're either trading for a closer or bringing up one of these guys. And I don't love that idea either. But again, it all depends on what happens in the month of June. So let me close with this. Of these four guys, okay, between Bayo, Mata, Walter, and German, which of the four do you think has the best chance of having a long-term significant impact on the Red Sox? Andrew, I'll start with you.
Bayo.
You think Bayo? He just has like the best makeup and
he's got the highest ceiling of them all. He's got the best raw stuff. If he fails, he's a reliever and a probably damn good one. If the other ones fail, then they have a very limited window of success.
All right. Terry?
I mean, I can't really expand on it any better than what Andrew just did. So he's the hype train right now, carrying this whole farm system. So what could he be like? Are they going to update the ratings one more time, the prospect rankings? Like, could he be like a top 30 guy by the end of the year?
They'll update him. So they don't do like full blown updates on MLB.com. They just kind of do like housekeeping ones. You know, once some guys clear out, if some guys completely bottom out, they update, but they don't do insane ones. I don't know if Baseball America does more extreme ones, but yeah, I'm not too sure.
It just sounds like he could really climb if the punch outs are still there, you know, throughout his Worcester run and whatnot. But
yeah, I think I agree with that. I think Bayo's probably got the best chance. I will give a slight shout out to Brian Mata. I think if Mata is able to come back healthy, and if they do use him as a reliever and that's what his future is, and he kind of turns into, you know, your 1-2 winning guy out of the back end of that bullpen, that could be super valuable. As good as Bayo could be as a starter, Brian Mata could be just as valuable out of the back of the bullpen. So I am kind of rooting for him, hoping that that happens, because let's face it, guys, the Red Sox need pitching prospects to work out badly. They've got offensive prospects. We know that. Okay. We know about Costas. We know about Nick York. We know about those guys. They need pitching prospects badly, and they need these guys to work out. So of these four, I'm hoping at least half of them work out, but time will tell. So any final thoughts from you guys on any of this?
Not really. I think we covered their outlook pretty well.
Ditto.
Okay, awesome. Well, that'll do it for this Deep Dives edition. Your weekend crew will be back on Monday to cover the Oakland Athletics series. Red Sox will be getting their West Coast trip in Oakland this weekend, so hopefully they perform well. Should be a good series, but the Bastards will be back with you on Monday. Until then, take care, everyone.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.